Welcome to Ministries That Podcast, where I talk to successful ministry leaders about how they're using podcasting to amplify their mission and grow their ministry so you can too. I'm Tim Hall, your host and owner of Sonomorphic, a podcast production company that specializes in podcasting for ministries. My guest today is Ginger Hubbard. She's a best-selling author, speaker, and co-host of Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger and I are going to talk about starting her podcast despite her lack of technical skills, how they secured sponsors before even airing the first episode, and the off-the-cuff idea that's led to about half of their monthly revenue. So let's jump right in. Here's my conversation with Ginger Hubbard. Well, Ginger, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks, Tim. I'm excited to get to chat with you.
Yeah, so I think we first got connected, I think it was about 6 months ago or so, middle of last year, through our mutual friend, Paul Hastings, who I had on this show back on episode 7. And at that point, I looked at your podcast and learned more about the work that you're doing and thought you'd be a great guest to have on the show. And so as I was doing some research, saw that you started your podcast, Parenting with Ginger Hubbard, back in January of 2021. And since then, you've published weekly episodes for a total of over 200 episodes at this point. And so I wanted to have you on the show to hear more about your podcasting journey. And so to start off, you were a best-selling author long before you even had a podcast. And so I want to start there. What led you to get started in writing books and becoming an author?
Well, I actually did not set out to be an author or a speaker or a podcaster. I was just a mom and I wanted to be the best mom that I could be. Mm-hmm. And so I read this book. It's kind of a long story, but I'll keep it as short as possible. But read this book called Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. Loved it so much. And so decided to grab my closest friend and start a mom's group at our church. Mm-hmm. It's our local church, to go through Ted's book. And so we started that, I think, in maybe probably 1999. And we were just going through the principles in Ted's book, and she and I were taking turns encouraging the moms in that. And his book is like super heart-oriented, like gets you really excited about reaching the hearts of your kids. But in all honesty, he didn't give a whole lot of practical application. And he and I talk about that a lot, so he would be fine with me saying that. And so I put together this little chart called Wise Words for Moms for our little local moms groups, like 20 or 30 moms, and just kind of broke down all the different behaviors that kids struggle with and how we could walk them through what the Bible has to say about those behaviors from a heart-oriented, Christ-centered perspective. And so I had maybe five different struggles on that little chart that my kids struggled with. And then the moms were like, well, what about whining? Well, what about tattling? Well, what about not sharing? And so I slowly started adding all of these behaviors and just thinking through, what does the Bible have to say about these? And before I knew it, we had 22 behaviors on this little chart. So I wound up mailing a copy of this chart to Ted Tripp. I found out he was a pastor at a church. And I just mailed him a copy and said, hey, I love your book. I've written this little practical thing and just wanted to show it to you how the principles I've learned from you have helped me to apply everything I've learned in practical ways with my kids. So just a thank you note. Well, the next thing I know, his son, Aaron, who runs Shepherd Press Publishing, calls me up and says, hey, this is the resource our publishing house has been looking for. We want to publish Wise Words for Moms. And so, you know, again, Tim, I never set out to be a speaker, a writer, never imagined that in a million years. As a matter of fact, I only went 2 years to junior college, made all A's and B's, really good grades, except in one class. I got a D in public speaking.
Okay.
I remember the teacher actually telling me, one thing you don't need to do is go in public speaking. And so, you know, never listen to the teachers. Always follow the direction that God gives. Anyway, so Ted publishes that chart. He's, you know, speaks all over the world and started taking that chart with him. And all of a sudden, I start getting phone calls from all over the country, people asking me to come speak at their church. So then this national speaking ministry started. And so I really got started not as something that I was pursuing, which I love, because it wasn't so much that I was pounding on doors as it was God just really putting it in my lap as a result of just being faithful to want to parent my own children in accordance with his ways and then encourage our local moms group to do the same.
Nice. Yeah. So what was your involvement with podcasting over those years? That was a decent amount of time from when you first went through that book to then when you started the podcast in 2021. What was your relationship with podcasting over those years?
Not a whole lot, other than being invited to be a guest on podcast. Yeah. I would say I really had no involvement at all. I didn't even start listening to podcast, Tim, until after I had my own. Okay. Is that not hilarious? So I really knew very little about the podcasting world, and I'm more of a reader than a podcast listener. Now, obviously, I listen to more now that I have one, just so that I can learn and listen to, you know, what other people are having to say, especially about parenting and things like that. So I really didn't have a whole lot of involvement there.
Nice. Gotcha. Yeah. So at what point did you decide then, hey, podcasting is something that we should step into? If it wasn't something that was on your radar as much, wasn't necessarily a passion, it doesn't sound like at that point, what pushed you to be, hey, okay, let's try this podcasting thing?
It was parents coming up to me at my speaking events. I speak at a lot of churches and homeschool conventions, and I cannot tell you how many parents, moms in particular, are coming up and saying, I love your books. I like to come to your events, but why do you not have a podcast? And so for years, I had people saying, why don't you have one? I really wish you did. I would love to hear more from you other than just your books. And, you know, and not everyone can come to the events.
Yeah.
And so I kept hearing that. And my husband travels with me, and he was on me forever saying, you're not listening to these parents. You need to have a podcast. And Tim, I think that my biggest hesitancy in that was the time commitment. But even more than that, you and I have gotten to know each other a little bit since Paul Hastings introduced us, and you know I am very technically challenged, and you do have to have some technical skills to have a podcast, and I had zero. I don't even know which remote control turns on the television in our house, so if that tells you anything. And so it just intimidated me, because I'm like, I don't know that I could do this, and so I just kept putting it off, honestly not even praying about it, and my husband just kept telling me, you need to do this. Well, fast forward a few years after I have so many people saying this, I'm still not even considering it because I'm just not somebody that likes to tackle things that I don't know how to do well. And so this girl, Katie Morgan, this young mom, started attending some of my conferences, and I started getting to know her a little bit. And then she invited me to speak at her church in Birmingham. And so after I led an event at her church, she was walking my husband and I out to the car, and we were just talking about the event. And then she pops that common question that I kept getting, why don't you have a podcast? And I gave her the same answer that I gave everybody. Well, I'm not a technical person. And Katie said, well, I am a technical person. Nobody knows your materials better than I do. What would you think about us starting a podcast together? And so even then, Tim, I'm like, well, you know, that would solve my technical problems, I guess. But I didn't know Katie well at all. And I'm still thinking, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to do that. And it's just not within my comfort zone. So I told her, well, let's just pray about it. Keep in touch. And so it was funny because as soon as we got in the car and Katie walked back into the church, my husband looked at me and said, there's your sign. Your whole excuse is that you're not technical. And here you have somebody that knows your materials, that's implementing your materials with their own kids, wanting to host a podcast, wanting to do all the production, wanting to do everything. All you have to do is hit record. And he said, surely you can do that. And I'm like, well, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, so I did pray about it, but I'm just really slow to act on things, Tim. And so that was in 2019. So Katie and I, when I spoke at her church and she asked me about doing one together, I said, well, let's just pray about it. So we did, kind of kept in touch, on and off, different things happening in my life, different thing happening in her life, but we did continue to pray. And then COVID hit and I could not go and lead conferences anymore. And I was having withdrawals because I'm like, this is my favorite thing in the whole world to do is encourage parents and I can't do it anymore. And so I called Katie and I said, all right, you know what? Let's give this thing a try. I'm a little intimidated. You said you would handle all the technical stuff. I'll be in charge of the content. Let's do this together. And I remember saying, I'm going to commit to 8 to 10 episodes. And let's record those. Let's put them out there. I'm not going to advertise. I'm not paying to advertise this thing. If it takes off through word of mouth, we'll continue to do it. We'll reevaluate after 10 episodes. Well, Tim, never in a million years did I expect for it to just explode the way that it did. And so that was 4 years ago. So we're still doing it.
That's great. Yeah. So obviously those first episodes went well, but as you think back, what were some of the other things that you had to overcome as you learned more about podcasting and getting equipment and recording the show yourself?
Well, obviously the technology stuff, there is a little bit, you know, that I had to learn. And so, but I just, you know, did it. I just learned what I had to learn.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would say that the other biggest obstacle was probably going from part-time to almost full-time. Mm. Because I put a lot of effort into preparing for our weekly podcast. So it's not something that I just sit down and wing it and it's off the cuff. I spend a lot of time praying. I spend a lot of time in the scripture. I spend a lot of time just preparing. You know, it's kind of like I would never pastor a church because I think men are supposed to do that. But it's almost like a pastor where you're preparing a sermon every week. And so I'm praying so much more fervently for my pastor now that I see how much work it takes. You know, when you really want to do it right and put out the best content. I know a lot of podcasters that could sit down and just wing it, and they're incredible. I'm not one of those people. I have to put a lot of prep into it. So just learning to manage my time, because I, you know, pretty much did speaking events before that. And so that put me from, you know, maybe even less than part-time to pretty much full-time. So making that adjustment was huge for me.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. And so you now have Katie that's helping you. You're starting the podcast. Tell me a little bit about, as you started, because I scrolled back to the beginning and you did have sponsors for the very first episode. And so I'd love to know how you had relationships, how you got some of those deals going before you even had basically proof of an audience size at that point.
Well, we knew from the start that we wanted to have sponsors, and we wanted that to be a regular part of our show right out of the gate. We didn't want that to be, you know, to where we're just giving content with no ad breaks and then suddenly, you know, introduce that to our listeners. We were afraid that that might be a bit frustrating. Plus, Katie and I both were very routine people. So we wanted to go ahead and, again, come out of the gate with the routine that we wanted to have. Yeah. But you're right. We had no listenership. I mean, we'd not even aired the first episode when we started reaching out to those sponsors. We just knew that we wanted to have them. So we did three things. First, we reached out to really small companies with resources that we personally used and loved and truly had a passion to tell others about. We were actually already telling people about them, just friends. And so we reached out to those, and then we charged them like next to nothing. We really shouldn't have even charged them, but we just wanted to start out doing it right. So I think we charged them like $20, you know, something crazy. And so very little for them to do that. And then Katie wrote the ads that we would be using on the podcast, using very personal endorsements for their products or whatever the resource was, and then often using a touch of humor so that the ads were really engaging and fun. And then here's the kicker, Tim. Having said all that, I think what really got those sponsors for us is Katie went ahead and recorded the ads. And so on that initial email where we even reached out to them and said, hey, we love your products. We want to tell about your products. And we know we don't have a listenership yet because we're a brand new podcast, but we're not going to charge, you know, hardly anything. We're really expecting this to grow. And then Katie went ahead and sent a link to the ad that she had already recorded. And she is just brilliant with that stuff. She's very clever. She's very humorous. And she's just very captivating in the way that she communicates. And so she would create the ads. They would click play, probably half of them thinking, yeah, whatever, these people haven't even started. And her ads were so brilliant and so clever and so engaging that I think I can honestly say I don't think one person rejected our ads. They were just that good. Plus, another thing that we told them is the way that we do our ads for our sponsorships is they're evergreen. And so we said, we don't have a listenership now, but we're really committed to this and we're really hoping to grow that listenership. And so as we gain new listeners, they're going to go back and listen to our earlier episodes, hopefully. And so your ads are going to be evergreen. So, you know, you're paying $20 now for this ad, but hopefully one day we're going to have, you know, millions of listeners and they're going to like what they're hearing. And they're going to go back and listen to some of these older episodes. And then you've got, you know, an ad that you might have paid thousands of dollars for that you only paid 20 because you got in on the ground floor. So that's how we got sponsors without having a listenership.
Nice. Yeah, that's a fantastic idea to go ahead and craft the ad and send it to them as if this is, you know, people frequently do that after the episode airs of like, here's your ad or here's what it's going to sound like in the episode. But doing that on the front end, that's a fantastic
idea. It was a lot of work to do it on the front end. And obviously we can't do that now because we have so many other things going on. But when we were just starting and really needing them, that was the kicker. That's what got us those sponsorships is they listened and they would call and say, wow, we loved that ad. And so it was great.
Yeah. So to what extent now over the years have sponsorships helped to support the ministry? And then what have been some other means of support?
One of the biggest things that we did that it was really off the cuff, right before Katie and I recorded this episode, I said, hey, I have this idea, because she introduces me at the top of the show. She, you know, throws out some questions to pull people in to want to listen. And then she introduces me. And I said, how about right after you introduce me, let's encourage our listeners who are enjoying our podcast to purchase my resources that we talk about on the podcast on my website. And it was just really off the cuff, last minute. And, you know, she just said something like, you know, if you enjoy this podcast and want to help support our ministry, one way you can do that is by purchasing Ginger's resources directly from her website instead of other really convenient online retailers. And then she would say, and then stay tuned until the end of this episode to receive a discount code on your purchase at gingerhubbard.com. And Tim, it was unbelievable. I called Katie the next day. I'm like, what in the world just happened? Because we went from having, I don't know, maybe two or three website orders a week to having a lot of website orders just by doing that. And, you know, some of the other online retailers, they can offer free shipping. Mm-hmm. They can even sell my books cheaper than I can. So I didn't think that that would go over as well as it did. But that was just the loyalty of our listeners. And, you know, they may not want to set up like monthly donations and things like that, but just to say, hey, this is a simple way you can help support us. If you'll just purchase my stuff through my website, that really helps to sustain this podcast. And man, they were so faithful to do that. And so I was just blown away by that response. And, you know, I know that that might not be the case for other podcasters, but my books are not self-published. They're published through a publishing house. Well, anybody that has done that knows that the publishing houses are the ones making all the money from that. So if you purchase from, you know, other retailers, the publishing house is getting the majority of that. And I just get a royalty from that, which is nothing compared, you know, to what they're making. So when I purchase my books and I'm able to sell them myself through my website, my profit on that is ridiculously higher than if someone buys it from someone else. So yeah, that was just huge. And I'm so thankful that the Lord brought that into our head, because we really needed a little bit more support there. And that was just a simple thing that our listeners could do to help. And boy, they jumped on board and helped.
If I'm correct, I think whenever you started doing that, you've continued to do that on every episode pretty much, because that's been a great source of revenue, as you've been saying. And so that keeps coming up and people are continuing to hear that, new listeners coming in and knowing, hey, let's go to Ginger's website and get her resources there.
Right. And something else we do, Tim, that I just thought about is that that's pretty much at the top of the show, right after I'm introduced. Yeah. And then at the bottom of the show, we offer a discount. We feature one of my resources and we offer a discount on that resource. So that way they're at least getting a discount by being willing to go and purchase through my site. So that's just been really effective. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So what would you say is kind of the breakdown of website orders and sponsorships? What does that kind of look like in donations, other revenue streams? What is that made up of? And what can other people expect that might have a similar situation?
You mean as far as what is the most successful as far as support? Yeah. I would say that probably the sponsorships and the website orders, I would say, are probably about 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we really don't get a whole lot of just people making donations because I'm not nonprofit, so it's not tax deductible. Sure. And so we don't really get a whole lot of donations. So that was just a way that we could, you know, encourage them to do that. But I would say that, and of course, my speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. We sell my books at my engagements and I get a speaker fee and that sort of thing that helps to support the podcast. But without those three things, and in particular, you know, I would say definitely the sponsorships and the website sales, that is what sustains the podcast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And those all have built together in that you started the show because of demand of the listeners, and then they start showing up to the show because that's what they wanted and you created the thing. And then you say, hey, I have these other resources, and they may not have known about them. They want your advice. They want your curation of content. And so it's just continued to develop into that. And that totally makes sense that that's been successful on the back end there. So I want to jump into another aspect of your show, and that is that sometimes you have guests on the show. Usually it's just you and your co-host, and you're talking about a topic, but sometimes you have episodes with guests. Tell me about your decision of when to have guests on and what that usually looks like.
Well, we didn't have guests at all to start with. Mm-hmm. It was a while before we started having guests. One of the reasons is, you know, once I had covered so much of the material that I write and speak about, we started getting a lot of questions regarding parenting topics that I really didn't feel qualified to speak into. You know, for example, I've never adopted or fostered a child, but we knew based on responses and emails from our listeners that they did have adopted foster kids and they wanted some encouragement and advice. Mm. So we thought, you know, who can do that? I've never done that, so I don't feel qualified. And so we invited Sonia Martin to come on and share, who is an expert on that topic, and she was phenomenal and was able to reach so many of our listeners with great advice and encouragement that I was not qualified to do. We had Josh Mulvihill on to talk about grandparenting because I'm not yet a grandparent. And then we also invite, one way that we engage with our listeners is we have a section on the podcast and on my website called Ask Ginger, where we invite them to submit questions. And that is a great way for us to really know what they're looking for. It keeps us engaged. And so we actually read and answer their questions on a lot of our episodes. And so when I notice that there's this influx of questions on a particular topic that, again, I don't feel qualified to answer, then we know, okay, this is a need of our listeners. And so who can we invite on? For example, we were getting a lot of questions around COVID, around 2020 or 2021, right after COVID, sorry, about anxiety and depression in children, which was common after that. And so I'm like, I've never dealt with anxiety and depression in children. And so I don't know how to address that. I could, you know, throw out a few Bible verses, but surely someone can address that better than me. So we did a little research and we found Ed Welch, who is phenomenal about talking about that. Yeah. So we just kind of go from there. Now, we do have guests more regularly now. And so now pretty much our rhythm is we'll do two or three episodes ourselves, and then we'll have a guest on to talk about something. Because we just saw pretty quickly that there are just so many people that have tremendous wisdom and insight into particular topics and are very biblically wise in areas that I'm not. And so we found that guests have added a lot of value to our podcast.
Are you a ministry leader who is currently editing your own podcast? As I've said in previous episodes, editing can be a great exercise to know how you're coming across to your audience, but it can be time-consuming and tedious. If you're ready to be done editing, let's connect. I'm the host of this podcast, but I'm also the owner of Sonomorphic, a podcast production company that specializes in podcasting for ministries. And we have the privilege of working with ministries like She Reads Truth, Michael Easley in Context, and Focus on the Family to help them create engaging podcasts to encourage their listeners as they follow Jesus. If you want to focus on producing your podcast and hand off the editing to a podcast production company that specializes in podcasting for ministries, go to sonomorphic.com and click on Book a Call. That's sonimorphic.com, or just click the link in the show notes. Yeah, and I'm sure it also probably helps when you have guests on to help cross-pollinate audiences in that regard, that their audience learns about you because there's usually probably some social posts that happen and get some folks to come over there. What have been some other ways that you would say have been successful in growing your audience?
One way is by being a guest on other podcasts to talk about parenting. Mm-hmm, I know that when we first started our podcast, Heidi St. John asked us to come on, and she has a huge following. And so I was on there talking about, I think, maybe whining and lying kids, and people just really resonated with what I said. And so she was gracious enough at the end to say, hey, Ginger has her own parenting podcast now, so you guys head over there. And that was just huge. And so I found, well, wait a minute, this is a really good way, you know, to help promote the podcast. So I started taking a lot of invites when people would ask me to come on, and that was just huge. And then something that I started doing but have not been very faithful to continue that was really huge in growing the podcast was I was posting there for a while 60 to 90 second video clips on my Instagram account where I would just share like a practical parenting tip, share one scripture, something really parents could just grab and start using immediately. And then I would point those people on Instagram, like, hey, if you want to hear more information on this topic, go to this particular episode on the podcast. And so that was huge. huge. And we just got such a tremendous response from that. And obviously people sharing. It was insane how many people were sharing those little clips with their mom friends who were having the same struggles with their kids. And so, yeah, my team has really been on me. They're like, when are you going to start doing those again? But, you know, life got in the way and we moved our son back from Tennessee and my husband had some health issues. So it was just kind of one thing to the next. And my family is always my priority. But I'm really hoping to get back to those clips because that was just tremendous. I mean, we would see every time I posted one of those things, we would just see, you know, a tremendous influx of downloads when we would do that. And something else I think that helps is we're very strategic about our episode titles. They're very self-explanatory. You can just scroll and, you know, whatever struggle you're having, whatever you want to hear, you're going to be able to find it just in the episode title. I mean, our episodes are titled things like When Kids Whine, When Kids Lie, When Teenagers Rebel, Biting and Hitting, Picky Eaters, Being Consistent with Discipline. And so you can see, oh, wow, you know, that's what we need. This is where we are with our kids right now. And so it's super easy to scroll and find those episodes that's really going to target what you're struggling with as a parent. So, and then people will share those again with their friends. Oh, I know that this mom is having trouble with her child doing this. So they'll share those. And so that's been a huge way to grow it.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the video side of things as well. And so since you brought that up, I would love to know too, so you were doing those kind of as standalone videos, talking about the episode, then pointing the people to the episode. A way that I've found that people, if you don't want to get all the way, like that is more of a commitment because that's extra content that you have to create, right? But have you considered instead of maybe going all the way that far to, hey, let's just take clips from the podcast and it's still you talking about the content and then pointing people still to the full episode. But if you're already capturing your audio and video content, you could already do that. And I think you are doing that with your show and the way that you and Katie have been recording it. But correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah. No, we do record. We record through Riverside.
Yeah.
So just like you and I are right now. And so we capture that video, but we never really, and we did have some people say, you know, why are you not on YouTube? Why can we not watch you guys? And, you know, how lazy would it sound if I said we didn't want to put on makeup that often? So, but that's pretty much the truth. Well, plus Katie did all the editing for us. Mm-hmm. And I say did because my daughter Alex has now stepped into Katie's role, but they do all the editing. And obviously editing is much more involved and time consuming and difficult for editing video. And I also like to consider my audience as far as this is why we don't air our full episodes on video. I think that probably 99% of our audience is busy moms who are listening while they're working or they're working out, exercising, they're cooking, they're running errands around in their car. And I just don't think that the majority of busy moms would take time to sit and watch the episode. As a matter of fact, we have so many of them tell us, I always listen while I'm washing dishes or I always listen while I'm walking around the block or while I'm on the treadmill. And so we just didn't think that they would actually take time to sit and watch. And so we didn't know if that would be really worth the time and effort that it would take on our parts. But Tim, I do love your idea of just capturing those video clips from Riverside and posting those instead of me having to actually sit down and record, you know, an extra 60 to 90 second video to post. So that would definitely be easy on me because it would be actually no more work for me.
Right.
So I'll talk to Alex about my new producer if I can add that to her plate.
Yeah, because what you can do, and Alex might already know this, we'll talk about that transition as well in a minute here from Katie being your host to now Alex. But the great part about Riverside is that now you can also edit in Riverside. So you can just go straight in there and find clips based on the transcript and cut stuff out and export it straight from Riverside, not even have to take the files and download them and do a video edit in another software if you don't want to.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So it's a lot easier now than it used
is.
To be.
It really is. Yeah. Because, you know, before, you would have to just download the files and then, now am I going to edit this in some video software? Now I have to learn the video software or I'll try one of these AI things that can do it all for me and that might be a good clip or it might not. Is that worth the time? Anyway, you know your audience. And so if you, as you're recording, are like, hey, that would be a great clip or somebody on the team, if Alex is like, hey, we should totally use that as a clip, that would be an easy way to go back and grab those and then be able to publish those.
Yeah, that sounds great. That's a great idea. I'm going to talk to her about that today. I'm supposed to talk with her after we hang up. So that'll be the first thing I mention.
Yeah. So let's talk about the host transition as well. So Katie started at the very beginning as you were telling the story that she kind of prodded you to make the thing happen. And
she dragged me kicking and screaming, Tim. let's just say it as it is.
And then recently, at the beginning of this year, you put out an episode announcing the host change and some things that were happening in Katie's life that she wanted to have as priority, and it made sense for Alex to step in. Tell me a little bit about that transition. What was kind of terrifying about that transition, and what made you excited?
Well, I don't know if it was terrifying. Well, a little terrifying because, you know, I'm not the technical person, but I know that Alex is as well technical, and so she could handle that part. But the saddest part, the hardest transition for Katie leaving was Katie leaving because she is just awesome. She just really took the bull by the horns as soon as we started. She dug into how can we do this? How can we do this well? And she really took the lead in every way where I was just responsible for the content.
Yeah.
And she did handle all of that stuff. So, and then I also saw very quickly, it's funny because when I told some of my podcaster friends that have huge podcasts that I was going to start one and I was going to start with a host, a co-host, they were like, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because, you know, your host could quickly take over. That could become really awkward. And so you need to have a talk with her from the start that she's just going to interview you and pull content out of you. And so I did, because I didn't know Katie well. I sat down and I said, you know, this is going to be my podcast. And so I just want to make sure that we're clear that you're going to be asking me questions. Yeah. And she's, oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, Tim, it was probably three episodes in and Katie would just add this little, you know, bit of wisdom here and little story here. And I very quickly saw that she had tremendous wisdom to bring to the podcast. And so it was after just a few episodes that I called her up and I said, you know what? Forget everything I said. We are 100% partners in this. You have so much wisdom to offer, and I want you to share as much as you want to share. So we went from her, you know, just interviewing me to me saying, you've got the freedom to share as much as you want here. And it was a great dynamic because I'm older, my kids are grown, they're adults now. And so it's been a while, you know, since I was in the trenches of parenting littles. And Katie was still in the trenches when we started, she still is. And so you had me, who's like, I guess, the older and wiser teaching the younger. And then you had Katie, who is coming alongside these moms saying, hey, I'm in the trenches with you. And this happened yesterday. Yeah. And here is how I applied what Ginger's teaching here. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. And so it was just a fantastic dynamic that Katie and I had. And humor. You've met Katie, Tim. She is absolutely the most hilarious person I've ever met in my life. And I tend to be pretty serious. And so she brought that balance of seriousness and humor. So when she called and said, you know, it's getting too much for me right now. I feel like I'm neglecting my kids. I need to have more time with my family. I'm going to have to step down. She didn't call me. She actually emailed me because she knew I was going to fall apart and she didn't want to hear that over the phone. So she emailed me, gave me some time to process. Yeah. But that's still hard for me. You know, it's been 6 months now. She's so gracious, though. She said, we all knew that Alex was the one that needed to take Katie's place. Everybody on our team had a total piece about Alex taking her place. And so Katie was very gracious. She's like, don't hyperventilate into a paper bag. This is not my 2 week notice. I'm going to stay with you as long as it takes. Let me train Alex. Alex went and spent a weekend with them. I'll train her. I'll teach her everything that I do. And we'll make this transition very smooth. So just a very gracious, precious person and precious friend. So I'm grieving the dynamic that Katie and I had together. It was really good, and everybody loved that balance. I don't go to any speaking event that someone doesn't come up after I speak and say, is Katie here? Did Katie come with you? And our audience just loved her as much as I do. So I was grieving that. That was the hardest part of the transition, is just the relationship that we had. And of course, we're still friends. But on the flip side, the thing that I'm most excited about is the new dynamic that I have with my daughter, Alex. She was absolutely the best person. I think she's the only person that could have stepped into that role without everyone saying, we miss Katie. And that's what Alex said. She goes, my biggest fear is everybody's going to say, where's Katie? We want Katie back. And I said, I don't think that. I mean, Katie's obviously dearly, dearly missed. But Alex brings a different dynamic in that she is my daughter, and she and her husband, they don't have children yet on this side of heaven, but they hope to. And so she brings that dynamic of she grew up with me. You know, she grew up in our home and she was in the ways of the Lord and the very ways that I'm talking about on our podcast. And so we've got that mother-daughter dynamic, and that has come with a great sense of what's the word? Vulnerability on my part, because that's a dynamic I did not have with Katie. We just recorded an episode Alex and I did, hasn't aired yet, but it's going to air pretty soon. But it was on power struggles with teens. And so she can share this from a personal standpoint of growing up in our home and us having some of those teenage power struggles. And so what makes it a little scary for me is I've given her the freedom to share, you know, how did I handle that right? And how could I have handled that better? And Alex is as outspoken as I am. And she's like an open book, just like me. And so she's sharing those things. And I'm just sitting there holding my breath going, please be gentle. But I think that's a good dynamic. Yeah. I think it's good for people to hear, you know, her view on how she was parented. Some of the things that I did well and some of the things that I could have done better. I think that's going to bring a whole new, I don't know, good information and encouragement in a different ways to our listeners. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. That's a great perspective to have. And just, the different sides that now you can hear of those experiences and past relationship and how that's all come together and how she views it looking back, I think that'll be beneficial to the audience. And then, I think that's great. And then you could also, you know, still have Katie on as a guest if you wanted to in the future.
And she's already said that. She said, you know, if Alex is busy or traveling or, you know, on baby leave or whatever, she said, I'd be happy to come back on. And I think we're probably going to have a lot of people say, well, we'd love to hear from Katie again, too. So I'm sure we've not heard the end of Katie. She's got a lot to say.
That's great. Well, as you look back on the 4 years so far you've had in podcasting, how has the podcast helped you amplify your mission and grow your ministry?
Well, obviously, it has given me a much bigger platform than I ever had. You know, before, it was just at my events. And so it's definitely expanded my platform. I obviously can talk to a whole lot more people through a podcast than just at an event at a church or even some of the big homeschool conventions that I do. And then in turn, it has kind of, I guess, what rejuvenated my books. And so book sales, you know, people are now purchasing more of my books than ever because they like what they're hearing on the podcast. I'm getting more invitations to speak. That's something else we mentioned on the podcast is that I love to encourage people in person. And so we'll say, you know, if your church is interested in exploring the idea, Alex and Katie would say that, of exploring the idea of having Ginger come in and lead a parenting conference at your church, just send us an email and we'll get out more information on that. So definitely it has given me way more opportunities to go and speak in person, and then the book sales. And so, and that's just, it's not about the sales. It's about getting that information out to as many people as I can. And it's really, you know, Tim, it's really not even things that I say. My goal is always, what does the Bible say about parenting? How can we be more prayerful and more mindful to take all of these opportunities with our children to point them to Christ and His goodness and His mercy and His grace? And so everything that I do is centered around the Lord. And I don't ever want to do what I do to make a name for myself. I want to do it to bring God glory and to help parents really see that apart from Christ, there is no hope. So everything that we do, our ultimate goal in all of our parenting is to point children to Jesus and His transformational power.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's jump in to the high pass segment where we ignore the lows and I ask you about some of your favorite things. So the first one on the list is, what's your favorite thing to do in your free time?
Well, I love to spend time with my husband on Lake Martin. We live in Alabama, so we have a huge, beautiful lake, Lake Martin. It's like 750 miles of shoreline, and we love to go up there and just cruise around in the boat, sit out on the porch, like out over the water. Both of us love water, so that's kind of our escape place where we can go together. Plus, our adult kids are in and out all the time, and we love them. Oh my goodness, so much fun when they're adults and you're not parenting anymore. And so they gather over here. They're kind of in and out when they're in different transitions in their lives. And so that's kind of our little escape that we can go to and have some solitude and quiet. And other than that, I love to read and I love to be quiet. People don't believe this, but I am very much an introvert. And so I love to have those days where I can just read and be quiet.
Yeah. So speaking of reading, what's your favorite book that you've read recently?
Recently, I just reread Heaven by Johnny Erickson Tada. I love that book. I don't know. It's her testimony. It's just so much insight about heaven. It's very biblical. We have so much to be thankful for and enjoy on this earth, but man, we've also got a lot to look forward to in heaven. And so I love her testimony and all of her insights about heaven. That's a really good one.
Nice. Yeah. What's been one of your favorite stories from a listener about how parenting with Ginger Hubbard has impacted their life?
You know, I can't really say that I have one particular story that's my favorite, but I do have a very common story that I hear a lot, and I hear it over and over, and that's just the positive difference that prayer and scripture makes in parenting. And I do hear a lot of different stories about how that's impacted families. Probably the two most popular things I hear, or the most common things I hear, is one, even non-Christians that will tune into the podcast, they'll say, wow, you know, I listen to this because my child is whining and lying and not sharing, and we're having all these issues. And so I listened to this because I knew it would be really practical. But I never realized that the Bible had so much insight and wisdom for parenting. And so I love that story because, you know, not everyone that doesn't know the Lord is willing to go to church, but everybody pretty much wants to be a good parent. And so I love to see their faces light up when they say, wow, God's Word, I didn't know God's Word had all this in there. And they're all of a sudden excited about diving into God's Word. And then the other common story that I get is, you know, so many parents are always just looking to change the outward behavior of their children. And we're very heart-oriented. We really want parents to understand how to reach past that outward behavior, address the issues of the heart, and point their children to their need for Christ. And so we're all about that. And so I'm hearing so many stories about moms saying how it's made their parenting more calm instead of just yelling and administering consequences and punishment and frustration. They're saying, hey, you know, I'm telling my child now, you know, in Colossians, it says that children are supposed to obey their parents because that pleases him. How can you obey right now? And so just having this plan of using scripture, and it's so funny, I have so many moms say, you know, it's hard to scream the word of God at them. You know, and when you're asking heart-probing questions and trying to get to the heart of those behaviors, you don't scream and you're not angry when you do that. You're genuinely investing in their hearts and in their spiritual well-being. And so I'm hearing how not anything I'm saying, Tim, but the Word of God is transforming these families and making them more Christ-centered and turning their hearts towards the Lord. And so that's my favorite stories.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right. Well, Ginger, as we close today's episode, who else do you think would be a great guest for this podcast?
I think Will and Mickey Addison. Have you had them on?
I have not had them on, but I know Will. He's in a podcasters group with Paul and Garrett.
And Garrett and Hampton. They are awesome. And Mickey is, I mean, they both are. I know Mickey better than I know Will. They're both completely awesome. But, you know, they had Airing the Addisons on American Family Radio. And then it was just in the last year or two. And I know Garrett Hampton has helped them tremendously, as he did Katie and me. He was our go-to person when we first started our podcast. Just real quick, I told you that we recorded 8 episodes. And we had Garrett listen to those, and he did. And he calls us up and he says, you guys need to start all over. This is terrible. And so we had a love-hate thing with Garrett, but he was so, man, he's so open-handed. And he has such a heart for people wanting to minister through podcasts and never charged us anything. Just, I just want to help you guys do this because it's going to glorify God. And so I know we've gotten off on this tangent about Garrett Hampton, and I know we both share a mutual admiration for him. But yeah, so Garrett, I don't know if he's still doing his podcast. Is he still doing one? I'm sure you've had Garrett on because you guys are buddies.
You know, I haven't had him on the show, but yeah, I ought to, because especially, you know, Schoolhouse Rock, they're changing some stuff going on.
Oh, that's right.
This year too.
You should totally have Garrett on. And you know, he has that whole, I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but he has a whole manual, and he gave that to Katie and me, and we read it on, I don't know, starting a podcast or having a successful podcast. I don't know, but he is just a wealth of wisdom. But I think that Will and Mickey Addison are too, because they started out with Airing the Addisons. I know that was super successful on American Family Radio, and then they started their own podcast called Culture Proof. So they just have a wealth of knowledge too. So yeah, the Addisons and definitely Garrett Hampton.
Nice. Well, Ginger, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat about your podcasting journey on this podcast and encouraging other ministry leaders that are wanting to do the same.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you having me.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Ginger and hearing how she overcame her lack of technical skills by collaborating with Katie Morgan to create a podcast that so many people were asking for, along with the ingenious way in which they were able to secure sponsors before the podcast even launched. You can listen to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard with the link in the show notes. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Ministries That Podcast, produced by Sonomorphic. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow or subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. That's the best way to support this podcast, and together we'll help more ministries grow and thrive through podcasting. Now come back in 2 weeks to hear my conversation with Phil Snyder, host of The Living Room Disciple. Phil and I are going to talk about the idea he shared with a friend that developed into the podcast, the transition from the podcast being a side hustle to his full-time work, and why he's decided to change the format and focus on long-form video. Well, until next time, keep encouraging your audience as they follow Jesus.